What a blessing it is to open the Word together with saints that love the Lord, right? Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at the topic of being careful of what we hear and how we hear. Last week, we looked at hearing. Does anybody remember what hearing was synonymous with in the Hebraic mind from last week? Obeying. It was the same word, remember that? It was Shema. It's used for the word hear. It's used for the word obey in the Old Testament. And today I thought we'd just go a little bit further with that, being careful or attentive of what we hear and how we hear. And if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, right at the beginning of the chapter. What we will be looking at today, primarily, is our Lord Jesus Christ teaching with a technique called parables. Parables. And what I wanted to do with Isaiah was to show that there are parables throughout the Word. And in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, "Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Oh, now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought out forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plants. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression for righteousness. But behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." This was talking about when the people of God abandoned God as God. God did this great thing, which was represented as the vineyard, and did everything he could for Israel, for the men, and Judah. And they abandoned him. They brought forth their own wild grapes. This was a type of parable that you could see way in the Old Testament. This morning we're going to be looking at the parable, specifically the parable of the sower and the seed. And many of us have heard of the parable of the sower and the seed. I'm going to say that phrase again. Many of us have heard the parable of the sower and seed. May we be those that hear and obey. And we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ he's alive and well. Master teacher. Do you remember what Mary in the garden called him? Rabboni. A rabbi was a teacher. A Rabboni was the master teacher. It also had an element of, it's not just a master teacher. It's my master teacher, an element of personalness. And that's who Jesus Christ, that's who Jesus Christ was as he was teaching these wonderful people who had gathered along the seashore. And we'll see him use this technique of a parable. A parable isn't a fable, and a parable isn't a myth. A parable is a method of teaching where a truth is expressed relating everyday things to spiritual truths. And the everyday thing that we're going to be looking at expressed today is sowing seed and ground and growing and producing fruit. But he relates the everyday thing with spiritual truths, or pairs them with spiritual truths, so that we can hear and remember and understand and live, and then ultimately we can share those truths as well. But that's why he is using parables today. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. You will see this parable show up in three different gospels: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to get right to it. And you will see similarities, and you will see subtle differences, but it's just a perception of how they were received and how they were written down. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes, and when the word of God says great multitudes, were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat and the whole multitude stood on the shore. We just got back from the lake this morning. Mary and Bruce had us up there. And I was thinking, as we sat by the shore and looking out, as I was rehearsing this in my mind, can you imagine a boat off the shore, and then the multitudes. And did you catch what they were doing on the shore? They stood. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside or the pathway. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Do you see any spiritual truths yet? It's just everyday things being expressed. Verse 7. And somewhat, seed, right? Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choke them. Verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some and sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Verse 12, For whosoever hath this understanding, the word, the revelation, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and they hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. What did the disciples do that the others didn't? Yeah, we're going to see. They wanted to know. It was important enough for them to want to know. So hear you, therefore, the parable of the sower. Now comes the linking the everyday expression of life, real life, with the spiritual truth, so that they can be paired together and remembered. This is not so unusual. I remember one guy who was a teacher that I knew, where you would do things to help the children, the students, to remember. And it might not have anything to do necessarily with the subject. Okay, Liam, putting you on the spot. Have you ever heard the phrase, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally? Yeah, it, for mathematics and the order of operations, right? Has nothing to do with Aunt Sally necessarily. But did it help you remember? Yeah. Well, Jesus Christ is teaching in parables, and he's linking these spiritual truths with the everyday life things so that they may hear, remember, and understand. Isn't that neat? So, hear you, verse 18, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. And when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. Now listen to this. And anon, or right away, with joy received it, yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There was only one of those examples of ground that didn't receive the word. Remember which one that was? On the path, on the wayside, the beaten down, hardened ground. It never received the word where it could be understood. The others received the word. First one didn't have depth, right? On the rocky soil. Sprung right up, received the word, and it says with joy, right? With joy, but didn't have any root. Didn't have any depth of root with a seed, getting a root in their lives. And when tribulation came, they withered away, just like the scorched little plant that had no root. And then you had the others with had thorns and briars grew up with it. And we'll see in the other places when we read this, it's going to sound, oh, I've heard that before, but we're going to read it in the other Gospels, where it grew up with the seed, with it. The cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. And it choked the plant. And it says it was unfruitful. And the only ground that produced fruit was the ground, that the good ground that received it, understood it. And it produced fruit. Now we're going to go to another gospel and see this. So we are going to... I have to keep reading. I forgot the key verse there. So, let's see. No, well, here we go. We're going to Mark. Mark. I was right. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I want to ask you real quick, now that we've paused from reading. Do you remember the types of ground easier than you remember what was going on in the spiritual things? Yeah, I got the wayside, I got the rocky ground, I got the thorns and the briars, I got the good ground. And then that helps us to remember the spiritual truths that Jesus Christ revealed. So, Mark chapter 4. Verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat at the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, in his teaching, hearken, listen up. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on the good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And then he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. So was it just the 12? But those that hung around, they asked him. They wanted to know, right, about this parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing that you may see and not perceive, that they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. What did it say in the other gospel? That they may be healed, they may be converted, and they may be healed, and hear that their sins should be forgiven. Verse 13, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? And what he's doing now is how you know all parables. He's explaining it, and he's linking the spiritual truth with the expressions of everyday life. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, the hardened pathways, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, not just any affliction or persecution, but listen, affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Similar but not identical to before. He had the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and some bring forth, some 30, some 60, some 100. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear, with what measure you measure, it will meet, measure, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So what you have here, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. For him that hath understanding, who hears the word with the intention to obey, remembers the word, it has a place in his heart, he grows it, there's some depth to it, and then producing fruit at the end, see? That was Jesus Christ's heart for them. It wasn't his intention for them to, I'm going to let you guys know what this really means. You special ones, you get this. What was his intention for them to then do? Hide it? Put it in the closet? Put it on a candlestick? It was given to them to share. Isn't that wonderful? Take heed what you hear. How you measure it. How you measure the word. Take heed what you hear, and how you measure it, it shall be measured back unto you. With what value they put on the word that they heard, that will prove valuable to them in their lives. Have you ever met someone who valued the word not at all? I have. It kind of blows your mind. It's like the greatest thing ever. And they don't want any part of it. And some of them are really nice people. And you're like, but this is eternal life. This is the truth. The understanding of this will set you free. And they go, I don't need to be set free. And they, nothing. Well, let's look at the last place in Luke. For what, how you value the word, how you measure it, with what weight you put for it, it'll be measured unto you. Luke chapter 8 is where we're going to be going. That phrase, how you measure it, it shall be meet, how it will be measured back unto you, is a Jewish phrase. It's used throughout the Bible. Sometimes it's used to be, in the context of be careful how you judge, for you shall be judged the same way. Be careful with what mercy you judge, you'll receive the same mercy back. So it's a common phrase, and it would have been understood by the people that were hearing that. Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. Go to verse 5. And a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Is this sounding familiar? Is it redundant? Fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered because it lacked moisture. The other one said it lacked root, right? Well, what does a root do? Brings in the moisture, right? Verse 7, and some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that they might not see, the seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Now we had converted and be healed, converted and have their sins forgiven, and here, be saved. All of them. It's all of them. "And they on the rock are they which hear the word and receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And they that fell among the thorns are they, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." No fruit to perfection. Have you ever seen a fruit tree or something grow, and it's just about like maybe a week or two away from ripening, and then something happens to it? It doesn't grow to, the fruit never gets to perfection, to maturity, to when it's useful. Yeah. Verse 15, "But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth with patience. No man, when he lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel, like a bushel or something, and hide it under the bed, but setting it on a candlestick, that they which enter might see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, and neither is anything hid that it should not be known and come abroad." Verse 18, "Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seems to have." This is that understanding of the word. Those that don't have any understanding, they seem in their own heart, they seem that they have understanding. How important is it for us to be careful, be attentive to how we're hearing the word of God. When you think about the word of God, it is the word of life. It is the word of life. It is God's word. If you know it came from God, how do we receive it? The Old Testament goes, "Do you tremble? Do you tremble at the word of God? Is it that big of a deal, or is it not much of a big deal?" Think back on those different types of ground. Not that much of a big deal when you've got the cares of life, deceitful riches, the pleasures of life, choking out that word, being able to grow unto the fruit that God wants us to have in our hearts with the understanding of that word. When in that first section, that their ears were dull and their eyes were closed. Think about that. How important is the Word of God? When we're listening to the Word of God, when we're reading the Word of God, when it's being taught, are our ears dull? Are we not really? Because you can hear something and not really hear it. I like to fall asleep to the TV. I watch the TV with my eyes closed. I can hear it, but I'm not hearing it. You know, may our eyes be open to the Word of God and our ears be not dull when it comes to the Word of God, where it means something. Where in, I'd like to say, share one more thing about this ground. Some people share that this is the ground you are and you can't do anything about it. And that's not true. Who decides what kind of ground we are? We do. We decide what kind of ground we are. It's like, well, I'm a stony ground guy. Sorry, I'm going to be withering away here pretty soon. First bit of temptation or persecution comes along the way, I'm out. That's just because that's the one I got. Yep, that was my lot in life. I'm the rocky ground guy. No, that's not how it works. We decide what kind of ground we are. We decide how much measure or value we put on the Word of God. My grandma's old balance and weights are in the library. And you decide how much this is going to weigh. How much weight are we value are we going to put on the Word of God? We decide. We decide. My prayer, my heart for all of us, me too, is that when we hear the Word, we hear it as the Word of God, that we tremble at it, that we understand that this is the Word of life. It's no small thing. It's not something like a lodge that we do on Sunday. We get together, the lodge gets together, and we put a funny hat on or something. No, this is the Word of life to us. And together, we help each other be the kind of ground we would want to be. Together, we do that. And individually, we make that decision. But together, we also help each other to be that kind of ground. And I think how wonderful Jesus Christ teaching this, that we hear the Word, thinking, well, hearing when it comes to the Word of God and obeying are one and the same, should be one and the same. We hear the Word of God. We remember the Word of God. We understand the Word of God. And if we don't understand, then we do what? We ask. We ask. You know, the first place you go to ask when it comes to the Word of God? Me. No, not me. Not me. It's God. Do you think our Heavenly Father wants us to know and understand His Word so that we can be fruitful in our lives, fruitful for the kingdom of God? Yes, He does. We ask God, God, open my heart to this Word. Open my eyes that I can see what this is saying. I must be thick, God. It's not coming together for me. And the Father has given us that Holy Spirit indwelling in us to reveal the Word of God to us. We determine what kind of ground we want to be, where we hear the Word, we understand the Word, we ponder the Word of God. It's important enough for us to think about. And then we put it on and we keep the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, and we live the Word of God. And then we don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, right? Where we share that Word of God, we share that understanding and that truth. So closing it all up, we should be careful what we hear and be careful how we hear the Word of God. And then we decide what kind of ground that Word's going to be sown in. We decide, oh, the Word will do the work. Just like there's power in that little seed you plant, it just looks like a dried up little thing. It's just a seed. But somehow that power is in that seed to grow. The word of God is powerful, and it will grow. It will grow. God guarantees it. And may we all be fruitful with the word of God that we've received. Amen. Amen. Amen.